Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Emma, and we're both card-carrying members of the Infertility Club. Hello.
We're back. Oh my God.
We're back. Series 3, yo.
Oh yeah. Coming straight at you from opposite ends of Corona London.
Mate, I mean, we recorded this intro 2 weeks ago, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And at the time we were making jokes about, oh my God, what if we can't get to each other?
Yeah, ha ha ha, oh, everyone will be self-isolating, ha ha ha.
Yeah, so to be clear, we're in separate houses, in separate parts of London.
We are, it's sad. I like to look at Emma's face when I'm recording these things, but sadly it's not to be.
It really isn't.
Safety first and all that.
We do have lots of good plans.
We do have lots of good plans. It's, well, firstly, it's a fucking weird time. Everyone's a bit freaked out, but we are going to do our best to bring some kind of sunshine and good content your way.
If you haven't already listened to the really quick bonus episode we put out last week, we did a quick interview with Julianne Boutaleb, who is a perinatal psychologist, about what to do if your cycle's been cancelled, how to kind of get through it, because hey man, if you weren't already having a shitty time with infertility, you're probably now having a really shitty time.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, come on, like, everyone's having a hard time coming to terms with what's going on with Corona and this kind of social changes, never mind fucking having your treatment cancelled. Like, it's just unbearable.
I went through 3 cycles of cancer treatment, and I can tell you right now, it's terrible every time. It doesn't get better.
Yeah. So, look, big love to everyone that is either having their treatment affected by this, and also, to be fair, being affected by Corona in general. If you've anyone that's got it, anyone that's got friends who have it, like, seriously, yeah. Big love to everyone, because it's a fucking hard time.
It's a horrible time. To move on to the episode now.
Indeed.
We've made some changes to the series, because you don't want to hear us talk about how our lives have changed.
No.
While we've been away.
No.
So, this episode, we are introducing the Foxes.
Oh yeah, it's the BFN's hottest new couple.
So we'll be interviewing Liz and Nick Fox, who are going to... They're not going to take over from us because we're still going to be around, but you're going to start listening to their journey.
Yeah, they are. They're also trying to conceive, obviously, and they're at a slightly different stage than we were at. So I think it's quite interesting in that respect. And yeah, we'll be hearing from them every week on how they're getting on.
We had a really nice time with them. I think when we interviewed them, Corona was already becoming a bit of a thing. So like, we were all a bit like, are you sure you want to come to London and talk to us? But they did. And we had a lovely time.
But if you remember, it was mostly the storm. I think it was Storm Dennis that was maybe going to put them off from coming to London. Do you remember when Storm Dennis was all we had to deal with? That was our biggest problem.
What a beautiful time.
Oh, what a great time.
So if you don't know Liz from Insta, she's at Operation Foxbrio. they do something called Goggle Fox, which is a parody of Goggle Box on IGTV.
Lol.
And they're lols, aren't they?
They are lols. And they're just bloody lovely. So yeah, we're delighted to have them aboard.
Really excited. So please enjoy that. Obviously, we've got Professor Tim.
Professor Tim Child, medical director at Oxford Fertility.
Yes.
Yes.
As always, that doesn't change, even during lockdown.
It does not change. We were talking to him about vitamin D, which is quite apt at the moment, isn't it?
It's quite apt because we're all stuck indoors and not getting enough of it.
Well, you can go outside for a walk and a run if you stay a safe distance away from others. I think a metre apart from other people.
2 metres apart, babes.
Two metres apart. Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't listen to me, listen to Emma. So yeah, you can actually still go and get your vitamin D. And today the sun is shining. So that is a reason to be very cheerful, I would say. That's what I'm taking from it anyway.
It is. And I think the sun's going to be shining for the rest of the week, isn't it?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Woop, woop, woop. Fuck yeah. Also, guys, we've got a really great series planned for you. So we've got episodes on running clubs. We've got episodes on egg freezing. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we finally get something on endometriosis.
Finally.
And we've also got a really, really emotional episode that we recorded actually last July coming up for you. So get your stockpiled tissues at the ready.
Indeed. And so next week we've got an interview with someone whose treatment was cancelled because of the current coronavirus crisis. So it'd be quite nice to hear from someone who had that happen to them so other people don't feel alone.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably it, isn't it, for the intro this week?
I think so. In the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram
at Big Fat Negative,
on Twitter
at Big Fat Negative,
on Facebook
Big Fat Negative,
or you can email us
bigfatnegativepodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to rate and review us, we welcome that.
We do welcome that. That would be good. You've got very little else to do, guys. Come on.
So please enjoy this episode.
Please enjoy.
And we'll speak to you in a bit.
Guys, welcome.
Oh my god.
This is momentous.
I feel like we should have a baton that we should be passing.
Oh wow, yeah. Like, what's the baton shape?
The BFN baton? It's a negative pregnancy test.
Oh god.
Who can I pass that on to?
Yeah, let's not start the day with that.
The saddest thing in the world.
Got a couple of those.
Got them kicking around at home. I guess, like, we should allow you to introduce yourselves. What your names and where do you come from?
Hi, I'm Liz.
Hi, Liz.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm 36 years old. I hail from Cardiff.
I do.
I'm Nick. Pretty much the same, apart from being called Nick. Same age. Live in Cardiff from Bristol.
Yeah.
Let's
get the details.
I don't know what that makes you from. Like, I feel like I'm from London, but I didn't grow up here.
I mean,
when do you become from somewhere?
I don't know.
Exactly.
That is a good question. Please, listeners, email in.
I'll say Cardiff for now.
How long have you been there?
7 years.
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah.
You feel more at home in Cardiff than you.
Well, you live there too, so that helps.
Well, yeah.
To be fair, Bristol is a very
Your lives together there. No. Very good, very good. Yeah. So tell us a bit about your lives. What do you guys do?
So I am a chartered surveyor, and actually work for the civil service. And weirdly, Nick is training to be
very
a
much
chartered
similar.
Surveyor.
Are you?
In the civil service.
What made you decide to do that?
I was given the opportunity to do my master's
by
someone's parents.
Oh, amazing. Oh,
that's nice.
Love a bit of nepotism.
Yeah.
So I was working for the police in Bristol.
Okay.
And then I moved to Cardiff, so I was looking for alternative
work.
Employment.
Gainful employment.
Yeah.
So I retrained. And I started in your office in September.
Oh my god, how is working together?
It's actually okay.
Okay.
So up until about 2 months ago, we were on separate floors.
Okay.
Okay.
So we didn't really see each other.
Bye, darling.
Yeah. We didn't even have lunch together, to be honest. Barely walk to work together.
That's
really
true, actually. We don't. And then 2 months ago, I got ousted from my seat. and sent downstairs.
Oh, God.
So I could see him from across the office.
Oh, no. But that's gone all right.
But still, it was fine. Yeah. And now I'm back upstairs.
What was that bad thing? So it was all good. See me.
We distract me from my work.
Your handsomeness. Yeah.
I distract everyone.
The back of your head.
You're only human.
It's very true.
Oh my God.
It's very true.
I like if John and I worked in the same building, we probably would have to get a divorce.
Mm. Yeah.
Like we like each other and all. Just sometimes we don't.
Yeah. No. We don't do the same job at the moment. So I work in a different department, which I think it makes it easier.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
even though we work for the same company, we don't work in the same department.
You've still got news.
Yes.
And you've got like company gossip from separate parts of the office, exactly, which is important.
And we both know like the same annoying people.
Yeah. Very good. So. I think there'll be lots of our listeners that maybe don't even know where Wales is or what Wales is. Should we get these guys to do... Tell us that a bit about Wales.
About Wales. So Wales is a small part of the UK. It's tacked on to the left-hand side, as you're looking at the map?
The western
side. The western side?
Yeah.
Yep.
You can tell my geography's great. we have our native language, which is Welsh.
Say something in Welsh. Say, we're so happy to be part of BFN.
Wow. We're more happy to be in Tran or BFN.
Lovely!
That's amazing!
Yay!
So, yeah, I'm a fluent Welsh speaker, so we speak Welsh. We have Welsh medium schools. So it's exactly the same as English medium schools, except that everything is done through the medium of Welsh.
I see.
So there are some people that learn English as a second language. I am not one of them.
Okay.
but I have spoken Welsh since I was small, so I've always spoken Welsh throughout my life. What else about Wales? It's really pretty.
It is pretty. I can vouch for that.
Yeah. We've got lots of hills and a really fabulous coastline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a peninsula.
Yeah. What's the best food come out of Wales?
Oh,
I've got my answer.
Go on.
Welsh cake.
Yeah, I was going to get Welsh cake because I can't think of anything.
What about rarebit? Rarebit.
I like Welsh rarebit.
Oh, well, rarebit's so good as well.
Yeah. Or cowl. And there's a place in Cardiff. So cowl is a type of soup.
Yeah, I don't know that.
With like vegetables and lamb. Not so great for vegetarian over here.
Uh-huh.
But there's a place in Cardiff called Madame Fromage and they serve it with a block of Caerphilly cheese.
Oh my God.
And half a garlic baguette.
Oh yes.
Oh my God.
On the winter's day.
It's game changer.
Should we go to Cardiff next
time?
Next
BFN.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Party. okay, so should we go on topic for a minute?
Sure.
Tell us about your journey.
Well, our journey started in 2015. Would you say?
Marriage time.
So we decided to do the traditional thing and wait until we got married before we tried to start a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think actually because we got married reasonably quickly, so we got engaged within 8 months. We moved in together within 7 months, got engaged within eight, and then got married...
efficient.
Sort of, 2-ish years later.
Yeah.
So we were kind of quite enjoying... being us and having time together. And then as soon as the ring was on the finger, this was it. We were going to get down to business.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. And of course it would happen straight away.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pregnant by Christmas, I would assume.
Yeah. September, December.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you
totally
want that,
doable.
You want that
pretty
news
solid
to share,
month,
don't you? Yeah, absolutely.
Good for Christmas cards.
Mm, yeah, lovely, fantastic. Lovely.
Yeah.
And obviously it didn't happen. And I was starting to get really twitchy after about a year.
You were getting twitchy after about 2 months.
I probably was.
Oh, it's impossible not to.
I got twitchy in the first month.
Because I can remember you talking about going to the doctors in about November after we were married in September.
Was I really?
Yeah.
I did not realise I was so obsessive.
Mate, start as you mean to go on, to be fair.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Keep it going. but you were really reluctant to go and seek any advice.
Yeah.
So it took us about... I would say, 18 months before I persuaded you to go to the doctors?
Actually, I think it was close to 2 years, because we went on holiday to France, didn't we, in September?
Yes.
And then it was after that.
Yes. So it took me 2 weeks of solid vacationing to persuade
you to really lay that in. Nice.
Put the groundwork in. So we went to the doctors... And I had all the required tests, you know, the hormone tests. So was it day 3?
Yeah.
And then day 21?
Yeah.
And was told, you're all good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went and had your sample reviewed. Is that a good way to
term
it?
That's beautifully put.
Yeah. How romantic.
Some lovely euphemistic speak there.
The swimmers. You got the swimmers out.
Yeah.
Cup of shame.
Cup of shame. That's a new one.
And then they delivered what was probably quite a horrible blow. And it delivered in a horrible way, is what I'm trying to say. Where they basically use the term, and I keep getting this wrong. You keep correcting me.
I don't know. Probably you are right. Subfertile.
Yes.
In my head, it was subnormal.
Yeah.
Oh mate. No.
Yeah.
And it probably was subfertile. Thinking that because that. You.
I mean,
blunt.
It was literally like head up, delivery from doctor, head down, switch off,
yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Back
on the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not even.
Yeah, when we went in to get the results, she didn't know why we were there.
No, but she's always helpful.
She sort of, I said, okay, cool, so what can I do? I was given the cup last week. You were meant to check it out. Type away on the keyboard. Ah, here we are.
Nice.
Yeah. So she hadn't really thought about what she was going to say to you. That's the thing. Like, you haven't, like, considered how you're going to tell someone some nasty news.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Cool.
Yeah. So you were obviously massively affected by that. And
I was a little bit upset.
You were really upset. And quite rightly so. Yeah. I think I, you know. Yeah. And
but there wasn't much information on, or at least I didn't hear much information.
No, it was very much a blanket term. It was, this is the situation. You will now be referred.
Okay.
And I asked, you know, how long is that going to take? And nobody really had any firm answers for me.
Referred for IVF, did they
referred
say specifically?
Referred for further...
Investigations,
I think.
Okay.
So from the basis of that, we were fairly certain that we would need some form of intervention.
Yeah.
But the term that she used was so general, it was like, well, what does that even mean? What are our ratios here? So we were really kind of unsure about what happened, what the next steps were. And were we chatting to my parents? I can't remember.
That's how we got to private, didn't we?
Yes. So we had a conversation with my parents. I don't think we specifically brought it up, but we were talking about the fact that we've been trying for some time and... my mum was like, how long? So I sort of said, roughly 2 years. And she she was like, yes, that is a very long time.
Thanks, Ma.
Thanks for confirming that.
Thanks, Sean.
I'm guessing you're sub-fertile. Yeah. Thanks.
So their kind of suggestion was, well, why don't you go privately just to have an initial consultation? This is mainly because in my dad's office, so in the floor below, is the London Women's Clinic Swansea.
Sweet.
Oh,
so it's local.
Yeah.
Convenient.
Yeah.
So
hoping to get mates rates.
Yeah, so my dad was like, I'll go down and I'll have a chat with them, see if they'll do me a deal. Okay. So they did him a deal.
Great.
They did a deal.
And we booked in to go and have a chat with them as a sort of initial consultation to see.
Yeah. In Cardiff.
So we booked in Cardiff to go and have a chat with them to just kind of get a bit more information, really, and understand what this diagnosis actually meant and what our options were. So we went to have a chat with them. And from that chat, we discovered that my AMH levels were lower than they should be for somebody of my age. So I would have been 33 at that point.
Let's say 33.
So I would have been 33 at that stage. And they said, oh, you're a little bit on the low side, but nothing too scary. Although we would recommend you making some decisions about what you want to do reasonably soon.
Okay. And AMH level kind of refers to how many eggs you may or may not have left.
That's right, yeah. So I think it was something, and to be honest with you, I don't really understand the measurement tool.
The units.
Yes, but it was, you know, I was kind of slightly below the recommended range, which I'll be honest with you, I can't quite remember now. And then we also discovered from that appointment that Nick had...
Well, I was given a good news, bad news situation, wasn't I?
I was told
swimming and amount, and volume was good.
And
normal.
Shape, good.
Shape, all shape. But I had anti-sperm antibodies, so...
Oh. Okay. Right. So the plot thickens.
Kicked me while I'm down.
So they were literally killing each other.
Yes, yeah. and they just... What did she use? She said clump. They clump together.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So in order to overcome that, and effectively, in their minds, the only treatment for anti-sperm antibodies is ICSI.
Okay.
Right.
So we were referred directly, so it was a case of, sorry, if you put them in a petri dish together, nothing's going to happen.
Clump. Yeah.
You need to go straight in with a needle.
Yeah.
So we were fairly certain, fairly comfortable that's what we had to do.
Yeah, that should bypass those antibodies.
Okay.
So they can just pick the best ones because it's not affecting all of them.
Yeah.
But it would stop me getting you pregnant.
The normal way.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, you know, we were told or we were led to believe that that was the only problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a case of, well, this is the treatment.
Yeah.
This is the answer. Be well.
Yeah.
Off we go. And so the other thing that is a bit of a restriction, even if you go privately, is your BMI.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are in a private clinic, you still have to make sure that your BMI is below 35, and that's to do with anaesthetic.
Okay.
And sedation. When it comes to egg collection. And also around potential gestational diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
If you know you do become you are successful, and my BMI was sort of slightly too high at the time, so I had to go away, lose a bit of weight, and then come back to see them
because that's really easy. Just go away.
Totally doable.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Stick Joe Wicks on the TV with.
Good to go. Yeah.
Oh.
So that took a couple of months, and then we were into, I want to say July.
Yeah.
So we're into July of 2018, and we went in for our first round of ICSI, IVF with ICSI. We had 7 active follicles, I think. So we stimulation drugs. They put me on a middling dose and then upped it because I wasn't responding. I had 7 follicles. So this was privately as well. Mm-hmm. So I had 7 follicles, and of those 7 follicles, we collected 4 mature eggs, and throughout the fertilization process only one of them fertilized normally.
So you got one embryo,
and we got it to day 3, and they were like, we need to implant it back.
Yeah. It was only day 3 because we only had one. It was always only going to be day 3.
Yeah, so we weren't sure if it was, is it day 3 because it's crap? Or is it day 3 because this is your...
Yeah, that's the way you do it.
Yeah, this is how you do it.
Okay.
And they were like, no, this is how we do it. Okay. We want to get it back into you as soon as possible. It's a good one.
Okay,
it's doing well.
Okay, confident.
The original Foxbrio.
Oh,
yes.
So we went in for transfer... And we got ourselves ready, full bladder, the works.
And was this a fresh transfer
okay. with our one little embryo. Got into the theatre, legs akimbo, as you do, and the consultant couldn't get access to my womb.
Oh, sorry.
To my cervix.
What?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Yeah. So the speculum went in. And then she proceeded to sort of poke and prod around for quite a long time.
I'm sure that was comfortable.
It was, yeah.
It was eye-watering just to watch.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You just gripping.
It was not pleasant at all. And then she discovered or she established that there was some scar tissue around the entrance to my cervix, which... got there because I'd had a colposcopy treatment about 3 years before.
Okay.
And it looked as though the cells that they'd had to remove were quite high up. And so the scar tissue had formed and healed and had caused a bit of a blockage.
Great.
To the entrance to my cervix. And obviously we didn't know this when we went for collection because they're going through the sides.
Yeah.
So nobody had gone up that way before.
Oh dear.
So she tried to, and this is across the legs moment, scrape some of the scar tissue away.
Oh God.
To try and get access. Oh. But it was just too painful for me. I just couldn't.
Fair.
I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't cope with it anymore.
It's too painful for me.
Oh my God, it's painful for me thinking about it.
But it is one of my favourite, and this sounds really bizarre, but it is one of my favourite memories of the whole process, because it's the time that Nick almost passed out and had to be wheeled out of theatre in a wheelchair.
Wow.
Just give him oxygen first.
Oh my God.
I was watching it because it was, I don't know how long it was, but it felt like it was going on forever. I said, I've got to say something because I'm feeling a bit funny.
Oh, I mean,
I don't feel very
Liz was lying down.
I was.
That is love, though. That is love.
I don't feel very well.
Oh. So I sort of head lying there knees. With my legs in the stirrups, yeah. And they pass the oxygen mask over me to Nick, who sat next to me. And they're sort of fussing over him, and I'm just sort of lying there like,
oh my God, this is...
A, I really need to go to the toilet.
Yeah. I'm about to wet myself.
Like, piece of scrapage has occurred.
I don't know what's going on.
Oxygen, nothing.
So they got me out of the stirrups, and they were like, you go back to the room, go to the loo, go back to the room, we'll look after him, we'll bring him back up.
We'll look after him, don't worry about him.
Right. So I go back to my room, and I'm sat there sort of, waiting. And then all of a sudden the door opens and Nick gets wheeled.
Oh my God.
I beg them not to make me do that. No, I walk. I just, let me, I'm fine. Yeah. And we have to put you in a wheelchair. Oh,
that's so great.
The chair of shame.
Yeah, it just really took the sting away from the whole process for me.
Were you laughing at this very time, or were glaring?
I think I probably was laughing.
I remember little sympathy.
Yeah. There was no sympathy for
mine. That was hard for you, was it, darling? Yeah. Find that difficult.
Yeah. Challenging, was it?
It was.
So, because they couldn't get access, they had to put our little Foxbrio on ice.
Right. And they were able to, so that's
And they were able to, so even though it was a bit of a blow, it wasn't, you know, we weren't out of the race, it wasn't over. Mm-hmm. But their recommendation was you need to have some cervical dilation done.
Yeah.
And until you do that, we can't proceed with any further transfers. So I was really lucky in that I still had the contact information of the consultant that had done my colposcopy.
Cool.
On the NHS. So I rang her and I was like, this is the situation.
What have you done to me?
This is what's happened. And she was brilliant. She was like, right, let's get you in as soon as possible.
Fantastic.
You know, I'll put you on. I think we were going to New York, weren't we? Which delayed me being able to have the surgery. But she's like, as soon as you're back, put you on my list and we'll get it sorted.
Okay.
Because you did call the NHS first, didn't you? And you just spoke to someone generally, and they said some 8 weeks or something.
Yeah, another 8 to 12 weeks. Yeah, it's always 8 to 12 weeks.
Which I went into massive meltdown, didn't I? I just couldn't cope with that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially knowing that it was there on ice, ready to go, and we'd taken so long to get here. Mm-hmm. It just felt like that 8 to 12 weeks was forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really fortunate, got it done on the NHS, and then came the long wait for my period to arrive, because obviously it never arrives when you want it to arrive.
No, never.
And when you don't want it to arrive, it's
there she is. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it was about 6 weeks I think after the surgery before she rocked up again.
Okay. God. So by this time it's October.
Yeah, so we're about October November time.
Yeah.
And they started us on a frozen cycle. So we started taking the required drug. I started taking the required drugs. And they brought me in for my first scan. And without telling me, pre-warning me, just sprung a mock transfer on me.
Great times.
Okay.
Which for me, I was like, well, I prefer to do that.
Yeah, because, fair. Good idea.
You know, I don't want to be in the situation again. But I could have... had a bit of notice.
Yeah. Equally, it wasn't great the first time around, so maybe a bit of warning would have been nice. Yeah.
Seems like the polite thing to do.
Yeah, I think so. Mm. But Maybe I'm wrong.
I had that on my first ever IVF appointment.
Oh.
Yeah, he was just like, I'm just going to see if I can get it in. He could. It was fine.
Oh, good.
I was like, okay.
Whoa.
People get arrested for saying stuff like that, don't they?
I mean, hashtag me too.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
So we rocked up and Nick wasn't allowed in the room.
Cool.
Because of past experience.
Oh, right, of course.
Hello.
Darling, you wait here with this chocolate biscuit. We'll be back soon.
And I felt really uncomfortable about that, actually. I was not happy about it, but they're the professionals, mm-hmm. so we tend to just follow along and do whatever they want us to.
Yeah.
So off we trotted to have this mock transfer, and again, about 40 minutes later, still no Joy. And I think you were starting to realise that something probably wasn't quite right.
Yeah. After I've read about 40 pages of my book, she should be back by that now. Mm.
So got taken back into the room and he said, I'm really sorry, I think you need to go for more surgery.
Jesus.
And at that point, I think for me that was my breaking point. Because we'd been through so much. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'd had one round of surgery and it was... You know, okay, so why is this not working for us? But also the panic of, well, what happens if they can't get it in?
Yeah.
Is it just going to be on ice forever? Like, how does this work? So we were planning to potentially have more surgery, but the consultant wanted to have a chat with some of his colleagues. And so about a week later, we had a phone call to say, right, we'd like to do another mock transfer, but we'd like to do it while you're on your period so that we can use the flow to mm-hmm. guide us to see where we need to go. Because I had normal periods.
Mm, yeah.
I didn't have any issues with, flow or anything like that. So they were like, well, let's try and use it to guide us as to where we need to go, because maybe it's just that we're not, it sounds dreadful to say, looking in the right place. Slightly concerning, but we thought we'll give it a go because we've got nothing to lose.
Of course. Yeah.
And this was about 2 weeks before Christmas, would you say? So this was December 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And went in, had the mock transfer. Absolutely no problems at all. Straight
amazing.
In.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, so that's quite a good tip.
If anyone's plan to do this.
Yeah. If anyone
perform the surgery themselves, it's a good tip.
So it was, we were over the moon, weren't we? We were so excited. We were like, finally that hurdle has, been kind of taken away from us. This is brilliant. And actually the consultant was like, well, we can start straight away if you want. If cool. you want to just go ahead.
Yeah. Don't get up. We'll start now.
Yeah. let's go. So I had a very sober Christmas and New Year.
Yeah.
And we transferred that embryo, finally, having created it in July, in January of 2019.
Right.
Okay.
And
Foxborough on board,
but didn't want to stick around, unfortunately. And we were quite lucky in that we'd gone to, I guess, would you call it like an expo? Like a fertility expo?
Yeah, because we thought, told originally that once you go private, you can't do it on the NHS anymore, you can't go back.
Mm.
So we had assumed it would always be private.
So we were making the assumption that we've made this move, this is our path. But we went to this expo and actually spoke with some people from the Wales Fertility Institute.
Yeah.
And they said, they were like, nope, not at all. You're still eligible for two rounds with us.
Amazing. Fantastic.
Which is great.
Amazing.
But you have to have your BMI below 30.
Damn it.
So at this point, I think I was... Well, what they actually said to me was, we don't have a waiting list at the moment. We're seeing patients of a BMI of around 31, 32 to discuss options, but we won't be able to proceed until your BMI is 30 or below.
Right.
So with that in mind, I rang them at the end of January and had a massive battle with the woman on reception,
mm-hmm.
Who was like, no, we can't see you until your BMI is 30 or below. I was like, I've had a conversation with somebody and they've told me different.
Yeah.
So I basically bullied my way in.
Great. I mean, that's what we all
Good
do.
Good girl.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's what we all need to do. Yeah.
So got in, had a chat with them and they were like, yes, you're still eligible for two rounds. You're on our books now. all you need to do is get your BMI below for 30 or below.
Simple.
I know.
Yeah.
So straightforward. So I did something that I would never advocate people to do. I went on a really extreme 500 calorie a day diet for about 8 weeks.
Oh, my God.
And I got myself to where I needed to be.
Wow.
It wasn't easy, but at that stage we'd been waiting for so long.
Yeah, absolutely.
None of this has been easy.
Yeah. I just wanted to get it done and get it over with. So got my BMI to 30. There were some delays, weren't there?
I didn't realise that my BMI had to be
You
told me that after. Phew.
Well, you're tall though, so you were always going to be fine. So we had a couple of delays in terms of blood tests and things, because we had to have them repeated because of timescales and that sort of stuff. So I ended up having to try and regulate my eating for longer than I'd hoped. But we got there and we went in for our first round of NHS funding on the 1st of August last year, so 2019. And they decided to put me on a different type of drug. Mm-hmm. So I'd been on Gonalef previously, which I think is some sort of purer form of the stimulation hormone, from what I understand.
Okay. Yeah.
And they put me on a different drug, but with the same protocol. So no down regulation, just straight in stimulation from day
which
three.
Which is great because it's just speedy.
It's just short and sweet. And I wasn't responding particularly well, even though they had me on the highest dose. But we had enough to go for egg collection because I hadn't appreciated that their guidelines state that you need to have at least 3 eggs.
Oh, really?
Or 3 potential eggs in your follicles. So 3 follicles over a certain amount.
Really? I didn't know that.
Before they'll put you for collection.
Is that nice guidelines?
I don't know if it's nice or if it's NHS.
That's interesting.
Yes. Mm. And the reason that I wonder if they do that, because as soon as you go for egg collection, so as soon as you're sedated, that counts as a round.
Oh. Okay.
So it, I guess, stops people using up a round potentially. Yeah,
that's quite thoughtful.
Which is quite nice.
Generous.
Unfortunately, it didn't work for us. Mm-hmm. So went for collection and woke up only to be told that they couldn't find any eggs.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all heartbreaking, but that is...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
after you've done all the injections.
And we, again, weren't expecting it because we'd had success previously. Yeah. We'd had eggs. Yeah. This was not...
Yeah, it was an outcome we weren't even expect. That's been the worst about everything. Every time we get a knockback, hadn't even considered that knockback existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So that was really... really hard.
So that was in August last year?
That was in August last year. But it's fine, because we had one more go.
Yeah, right. Yeah, of course.
So we...
Hopes were high.
Yeah, hopes were high. But they were very much like, right, we're going to change your protocol. Yeah. I had quite strong views on the type of medications that I should be taking.
Uh-huh. Great, you've done your research.
Well, and also...
And you know your body.
I knew that I'd had success previously with the more pure form of the stimulation hormone. So I queried why they were proposing to put me on the same drug again when I hadn't had any great success.
Mm.
Uh-huh. So they were content to change things. And I think actually what they'd said was... they had greater success for ladies with lower egg reserve with a purer form of the drug.
Yeah.
And there was some evidence to back that up. So they were happy to do that, and they down-regulated me, which I hadn't done before.
Okay.
So it was a slightly longer protocol. And by the time we were ready for collection in
November...
they were fairly confident that we had about four or five good size follicles that could potentially produce eggs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So off we went again into egg collection. And to be fair to them, as soon as I came round, they were like, we've got 4.
Great.
We've got 4. So I was like, brilliant.
Wow, great.
This is amazing. We've got further than we got before. This is brilliant. So we were absolutely on a high. We were like, this is great. We're finally getting somewhere.
Mm. And that's when it gets you.
Yeah, the hope.
Yeah.
The hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the following day, I had the call from the embryologist who opened with, I'm afraid it's not good news.
No.
None of them fertilised and we don't know why.
Oh, God.
I was at work at the time.
You were.
Because you just didn't expect the bad news.
Yeah, I didn't expect it. So got the call from you and had to sort of leave without saying much to anyone. But they were quite good about it.
They were. They were.
And that's another one you're not...
So that's another one we were expecting.
Oh, that didn't know that could happen.
It's the way it can knock you for six, isn't it? It's the way it just like... It's like a sucker punch out of nowhere.
It is. It is. And I think for me, it just... It really hit me. And then I just was desperately trying to find anything, any scratch or shred of hope in where we go next. What do we do now?
Yeah.
And so I was frantically Googling and trying to figure out what happens.
Well, we had a very sad day that first day.
We had a really sad day. A really sad day.
And then the research kicked in the day after.
And then I just massively overwhelmed myself and freaked out again and just stopped thinking about it.
I find that kind of situation really hard because, you know, if you've had an embryo transferred and it hasn't worked out, you can say, in a way, you've kind of had a loss. But with that, there's nothing that you can necessarily grieve except the fact that you were hoping for it.
Yeah.
I remember the first time when we actually had the embryo, we did. It was the day before the test. We went to bed and you got up. I heard you get up about 2 a.m. and you went and did the test. And it obviously was negative. And it was kind of, I don't know, because it was the middle of the night. It was like, okay. And then we just went back to bed and thought, oh, we've handled that really well. And then it was the next morning.
The next morning, it's just like, it's just horrible.
Because, again, like you say, you feel very silly for grieving the loss that never came.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But it's the same. But it's exactly what you've had the whole time you've been trying, is that never quite having that thing to grieve, but having grief, like real grief.
We felt a bit fraudulent behind the test, didn't we? Just it didn't feel like quite right.
Yeah, I felt like a massive fraud. Because it's that imposter syndrome, isn't it? Yeah, it's like, don't be so ridiculous. Yeah. This isn't going to work. Silly woman.
Joke's on me.
Yeah, yeah. Why am I even bothering?
Yeah, and spending £15 on a test. Yeah. Which is
how much it cost?
Well, I mean, they are expensive.
Very
tests.
Expensive. Bloody
expensive.
Especially the pink line ones.
Exactly.
I think after my last transfer, I just seriously consider just not testing and seeing what happened. Like, doing it kind of Victorian style. And, like, if I get a big tummy, then I'm probably pregnant. Oh. Yeah.
I can definitely understand that because I have you know, because you speak to people who've got that almost compulsion to do the tests, whereas I'm completely the opposite. Yeah, and I'm like, no,
don't find that.
Rather not know. Thanks. Yeah. I'd just wait and see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's our long in a nutshell journey.
So what's next? What's now? What are we about to hear over the next few weeks?
So basically, it's us trying to figure out what our next steps are.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, as I said, I went into mad research mode, didn't I?
You did. And then was it the following day you were on the phone to the adoption agency?
I was, yeah.
Well done. A long conversation with them.
Yep, we did.
Getting shit done.
Absolutely. I needed to have that plan.
Yeah, I needed to.
You felt better after that.
I did.
Absolutely. That makes sense.
I did. So it's basically us trying to figure out what's next. And our two major options are either considering adoption or looking at potential further IVF with maybe donor eggs.
Okay.
But we're not even sure that donor eggs would be the recommendation.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've done a little bit of research, but we need to go and speak to somebody to find out what they would recommend and where we are. I mean, I feel like a massive... I don't know if fraud is the right word, but... We were always very clear about 3 rounds and done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, we've done 3 rounds and it's not. But then it's like, but have we?
Because we have a chink of hope.
Yes.
Yeah. And circumstances change.
Yeah.
They do. You know. So I'm struggling a little bit with the concept that I'm shifting the goalposts more than you, I'd say.
Mm. If you've got the means, then you've got...
I think we're a bit naive to think you could just suddenly go, okay, that's 3 done, and we'll let's move on.
Yeah,
let's
go on holiday. Yeah. Let's switch and, you know, it'll be fine.
So, adoption, which in itself is a huge journey. Or donor eggs.
Yep.
And that's it.
Pretty much, I think. Although they may come at us with something else when we speak to they tend to chuck stuff in. That's where we are, really. Where do we go now?
Mm-hmm.
We know that we want to have a family. We just need to figure out how that happens.
What is the biggest thing that you've learned about yourselves during this whole thing?
I am more resilient than I ever thought I was. Like, I always thought that I was not a weak person at all, but very much a plodder through life. But actually, I feel like I've really just kept pushing and pushing and pushing until, you know, I guess I can't push anymore, but I'm not there yet. And I never thought that I would be that resilient in it all. I will have to be like that, I suppose. I think, and the other thing I'm surprised about, actually, is my desire to carry a child is much stronger than I thought it ever would be.
Okay. Yeah.
Because when we first started this journey, we were very much, we want a family.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was always, I want to be a mother.
Yeah.
I'm not
by any means.
By any means.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I never thought that I would be particularly fussed about being pregnant. And now that the reality has hit that I may never be pregnant, there's that little voice in the back of my head saying,
"That's
are you ready? Are you okay with that?" I don't know. I don't know if I am.
Yeah.
You said normalcy. We want it to be as normal as possible because it's been very abnormal.
Yeah.
Trying to make a baby up until
now,
you kind of forget how it was meant to be done. Used to be done.
That's so fucking unfair.
The thing that I forgot, and I think the minute I was pregnant, I kind of realised it, was that pregnancy became my goal rather than having a baby.
Mm. Yeah.
That was weird. Then I had a baby and I was like, oh shit.
Because I've said that to you sometimes. All the IVF is just focusing on getting pregnant. Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. And that's how adoption seems different. You're focused on the parenting aspect.
I think a lot of people are like that.
I get that
you should normally have this much time to think about it. It should be a lot quicker in theory.
Well, it just generally,
so you don't have time
to it just happens.
You don't have time enough to think about getting pregnant.
It's a bit like, you know, when you're planning your wedding and you're just really focused on the wedding day.
And not like being married.
And not being married. Yeah, and then you're all of a sudden oh shit.
You get there and you're like, oh, this is it.
I'm attached to somebody forever.
Damn.
You're legally bound to me now.
But it's that similar sort of thing, isn't it?
We've got some presents for you.
Aww.
Yeah, that's me creaking up to surreptitiously grab some presents.
Well, that's very kind. You didn't have to do that.
I mean, you guys bought us presents and they're probably not as generous.
I mean, this is fancy paper.
Well, the paper's fancy, might be left over from Christmas, can't confirm or deny. Awesome. But I hope you appreciate the ribbon, which depicts a rainy London scene.
It's beautiful.
Oh. Which I thought was appropriate for the day.
Look out the window and that's exactly what you see.
I mean, these are fancy.
Love that tag. Is a brown label with a kind of funny... that present's... I mean, it's not really for you, but I'll let you open it.
She's going to be so pleased.
It's for Gert the cat.
It says, "Dear Gert."
Yeah.
"Welcome to the BFN Cat Club. Love, Nora." Betty and Ethel.
They even put their paw prints on
them. Oh, aren't they good?
They are good.
I mean, you asked them to do one job and they just fucking nailed it, really, didn't they?
They go above and beyond. I do want to say that I did have this on this table today and then I came in this morning and it was on the floor because I think Nora had been at it.
She was just preparing it for the wrapping.
So if it has little claw marks on it, that might be why.
It just means even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be all polite about it. I normally just...
No, do tearing. Tearing is good for sound.
What is it?
They are... Just open it. Just open it.
Oh my gosh, the little fish!
They're fishing!
They're amazing!
Yeah.
I don't even know what I was going to say. What brand of fish? That's not even.
One of them's a goldfish, definitely.
Is that like a trout?
Don't know what the other ones are.
Or a sardine? I think you've got a mackerel there, haven't you?
A mackerel?
Yeah.
God, you sound authoritative.
I know, yeah. And your fish knowledge.
A lot of fishing programs.
Yeah. Oh, these are amazing.
Giving them to her.
Oh, and some catnip.
And recording.
Some catnip in there, yeah.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah.
She went mental for your peppermint tea this morning, didn't she?
That's amazing.
Head right in the cup.
She was going mad for it.
Yeah, and there's a little something there. But it's not very exciting. It's not like...
Oh, I like being occupied on a train journey.
Yeah, I did like a quadruple knot on this. So just like, just wrench. If you need to wrench, just wrench.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. I am so... I absolutely love these.
Gorgeous.
Tiger.
Really?
For all your wrapping needs.
I like a bit of tiger. Oh. Amazing.
It's a long journey from London to Cardiff, so we've got them Travel Monopoly.
Travel Monopoly.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
I love a board game.
Right.
We spent a nice Sunday evening last night playing 1983's Trivial Pursuit.
Oh my god.
Oh wow, that's hard.
Yeah, it was hard. Really hard.
Cast your mind back to when you weren't alive.
Yeah.
And
discovered I've never been good at Trivial Pursuit, and then I discovered it's because I've not been alive during most of the times that I've played it.
See?
Like, or the games that I played. And then somebody bought us 2019 Trivial Pursuit, and it, like,
I bet, did
a
you
game changer.
I'm a genius.
Game changer. Okay, guys, it is... Thank you so much for coming out here. Thank you for sharing your journey. And we are so excited to hear what's going to happen over the next few weeks.
Yeah. You're very welcome. Thank you for inviting us.
Speak to you soon. Speak to you next week.
Bye. Hey.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now it's time for...
IVF.
What the F?
What the F?
this is a really appropriate one because... If everybody's locked indoors, no one's going outside.
Yeah.
No one's getting their vitamin D.
Right. Is that what we're talking to Prof T about?
I think it is.
Vit D.
Vit D.
Wow. A props.
So Professor Tim Child, Medical Director of Oxford Fertility.
Indeed.
He is back in the house.
He's back in the house. As an aside, if anyone hasn't listened to our bonus episode from December, we did a nice interview with Professor Tim, so you can get to know the man a bit better.
Oh my God, that was so fun.
Yeah, it was awesome. He's a legend.
I'm still quite traumatised by my parking.
I really thought you'd be better at parking. I think you appear to me to be someone that's proficient at that kind of thing.
Do you know what happened? About a month ago, I had a tiny fight with a London bus. A little fight.
A little one.
And I haven't driven since.
Oh, no.
No.
What happened? Scuffed.
And
shit.
It was a tiny dust up.
Oh, dear. Never mind.
I know. Anyway, that's an aside.
It is. So for today's episode, we were talking to Professor Tim about vitamin D, and we asked, how important is vitamin D for conception?
So there's increasing research looking at vitamin D levels and the effects on reproduction. Certainly many women in the UK do have low levels of vitamin D because of obviously our climate. Also women with darker skin, women with a BMI of over 30, women with various medical conditions, particularly bowel conditions that may limit absorption of vitamin D, and also women from ethnic groups that are covered. All of these things can help reduce the amount of vitamin D that's produced normally via the sunlight on the skin. So we know that very low vitamin D levels in pregnancy can cause problems such as rickets in newborns, and it's also been associated with higher risks of high blood pressure in pregnancy as well. From a getting pregnant perspective, also some studies have suggested that lower levels of vitamin D can lead to lower success rates with IVF. In order to try and get around this, it could be that people have a blood test for vitamin D, or an easier way, unless you're in one of those high-risk groups that I've mentioned, an easier way maybe just to take some vitamin D anyway. And the pregnancy multivitamins, such as Pregnacare Conception, contain 600 international units of vitamin D, which should be enough if you're taking it for a few months before treatment anyway, to give you enough vitamin D to take you through treatment. And then in pregnancy, levels can be increased further as per local guidelines.
That's it for today's episode. Episode 1, Series 3. Over. Oh my lord. We'll be back next week, as always, and we've got an interview with someone who has had their treatment cancelled because of the corona crisis. So, yeah, so that'll be good. Listen out for that one.
And just before we go, big thanks to Liz and Nick for sharing their journeys.
And a big thanks to our new sponsor, Peanut.
Yes.
And before I go, happy fucking birthday to Emma. Woo!
Thanks.
We are recording this on Emma's birthday and she is feeling a bit glum. So happy birthday, mate. I hope you have a good one. Please, please have a good day. We love you. We all love you.
Thanks, mate.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.